The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The text is Acts chapter 9. Please stay tuned. My cousin John retired some years ago. He was the vice president for human resources at Iams Dog Food. And so I was having coffee with John about 8 years ago. And he gave me this advice. He said, pick goals for your tenure as president. Huh? John, I don't know the job. Not sure if I know it yet. How in the world am I going to pick goals for the service as president? He said, Dale, just do it. And, he added, don't change the goals. Stick with them. So over the years, in fact, John's advice was very good, and I have found it very, very helpful. Today, many of you are celebrating anniversaries of service, and an even greater majority of you are looking forward to your service in the church. Sooner or later, you will go out. And I would suggest that it might not be a bad idea for you to select some goals for your service and continuing service in the church. You can pick whatever goals you would like, but in the next minutes, I will make one suggestion for you to consider, and that is be helpers of joy. St. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, not that we lord it over your faith, but we are helpers for your joy. For it is by faith you stand. Now, St. Paul had a lot of helpers of joy in his life. Right after the Damascus Road incident, the first helper of joy to come to him was that man named Ananias. At Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. Helpers of joy are sensitive to the word of the Lord. And that doesn't just happen in chapel or Sunday church when the scriptures are read or preached. And it doesn't just happen in a seminary class or when you're doing your homework over the word of the Lord. It's much more than that. And one of the places where a helper of joy gets very sensitive to the word of the Lord is in conscience. And when you and I memorize passages of our Lord's word, and that is something that Deuteronomy commands us to do, when we literally memorize Bible passages, we are putting those passages into our conscience. And they are always ready to call to us, even if we don't have a book open before us. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Helpers of joy have the Holy Spirit in them, and that Spirit of God, that Spirit of the Lord Jesus who is in us, teaches us to follow the two great commandments. The first commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and being, but it doesn't stop there, where we often stop it. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus and helpers of joy sends us out to love our neighbor as ourself. And when we do that, we increase our dependency upon the God in whom we live. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. We helpers of joy do have our struggles. And it's not that every command that comes to us from God is something that we immediately say, yes, Lord, I'm going to get on my white horse and ride off and do what you say. And a lot of the times, like Ananias, we struggle because it is much easier for us to remain in the seminary cocoon. Much easier for you and me to remain in the cocoon of the Sunday sanctuary and not venture out. Venture out and seek the last, the least, and the lost. Ananias had the struggle. You and I have the struggle. And praise God for the struggle, because that's when he grows us into the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.
Helpers of joy are confident people. Confident, not because of ourselves and our abilities, which may or may not be great. But helpers of joy are confident because we know the one who is Lord, the omnipotent God, the omnipresent God, the omniscient God. He's got the whole thing laid out in front of himself. And do you and I know his great plan? Only in the broadest outlines. That his kingdom come, that his will be done. But the specifics, that he knows, and we only see it in hindsight. But after all, you and I are only helpers. We are not the Lord of the mission.
Then Ananias went to the house and entered it.
He obeyed. He closed his books. He left the monitor. He signed out from his email, signed off from that blog, put aside his iPad, his iPhone, and he obeyed. Sooner or later, faith calls for us to obey.
And he did. Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and went through a six-month instruction class in German Lutheran doctrine. He got up and was given envelopes for the church and told that you are expected to fill these things. He got up and was baptized. Helpers of the Lord. Do not put obstacles before ones who want to come to Jesus. Are there things that we do? Yes. Do we teach what Jesus is all about? Yes. Do we explain? Yes. We do many things, but never as an obstacle. Because a helper of the Lord always has this ringing in our ears. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Always ringing in our ears. Whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And if he's not going to cast him out, who are we to put up unnecessary obstacles between that person and Jesus? Helpers of joy. Last week, we had on campus, I should say we were, in my opinion, blessed to have on campus the pastors of some of the largest churches in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And I got to tell you, they very, very much appreciated their time with us. I've been getting emails from them saying how much they enjoyed being with us. If you were able to interact with those pastors, if you saw them preach last Thursday and Friday in chapel, you know that those guys are helpers of joy. They really are. And they're not the only ones in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod who are helpers of joy. There are many pastors. There are many deaconesses who exude the joy of the resurrected Christ. These are people you want to be with. These are people you want to hear, teach, preach. These are the people who lead congregations that you just want to go. You know, there really are in our church congregations that literally fit to the description, "I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord." Now there are others who say, "I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord, because I have to do this. You know, I'm supposed to do it. I learned that from old pastor so-and-so when I was confirmed 50 years ago. I mean, there are places like that. But here's my hope. I think the mission of Concordia Seminary, our mission as faculty and staff, is to infiltrate the church with helpers of joy who put out those big arms of Jesus that invite everyone, the last, the least, and the lost, to come to him and know a joy that the world cannot give. And how is that going to happen? Talked about some of it when we went through Ananias. But what's the nub of the thing? What's the key? What's this atomic energy that makes a helper of joy? Ananias. The Bible tells us he was a disciple. He learned. He was always learning. Gladly learn? Yeah. Disciples are learners. And learn the word of the Lord. A helper of joy is a person who has no greater delight than to be like Nicodemus and sit with Jesus at night, to be like Mary and sit with him in the living room and listen to him teach. A helper of joy is like Peter, who says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." A helper of joy is a person who journeys with Jesus, not just into the confines of the Sunday sanctuary, not just on the seminary chapel grounds, but journeys with Jesus, like the Emmaus disciples did, pouring out the stuff that we're struggling with and then hearing him open the scriptures to us in a way that makes our hearts burn, that puts a bounce in our steps and makes us ready to go out and love and serve the neighbor. A helper of joy is a person who adopts the dictum of John the Baptist: "I must decrease.
I fill in my name. I, who in my mind am so important, and my mother thinks I am so important. I, the helper of joy." I mean, we're only helpers.
"I must decrease so that he may increase." One of the great helping passages that the Apostle Paul wrote later from Galatians chapter 2, "I have been crucified with Christ. Down with me. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Oh, joy to know that thou, my friend, art Lord, beginning without end. the first, the last, eternal. Ah.
So,
Cousin John says,
just do it, Dale. Pick out goals for your tenure.
And as I said, I did. And it's proven John's wisdom. It has been very, very helpful. And one of the goals that I selected 8 years ago was that Concordia Seminary would provide pastors and deaconesses fit for the 21st century. Some people haven't changed their calendars and are living in the 20th. The goal for me, at least, is that Concordia Seminary will turn out the pastors and deaconesses who are able for ministry in the 21st century. I hope you will be such a person. I hope we who continue to labor here on the faculty and staff will enable such graduates from this wonderful place. And I not only hope this, I pray it. I pray that this seminary will infiltrate our church and not only the Missouri Synod, but all Christendom, and those who are not yet in Christendom, with this great joy of our resurrected Lord Jesus. And how will that come to pass? In any number of ways. But I have no doubt that it will come to pass when each of us has the goal of being a helper of joy. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.